Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Men broadcast. And once again, grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I want to shout out to all of you that are listening in Mexico, Iraq, Canada, United Kingdom, Algeria. Welcome to another God's Word to Men broadcast. And every country that is listening in that I have not named, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests and comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address, GodsWordToMan@gmail.com, at GodsWrd, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives them to us, that is what we give it to you. Praise be to God. So, thank God for another blessed day. Amen. Thank God for all of you that are listening. I am humbled, as well as my brother, that God has opened this door to give us the opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. Amen. And to go even on the history trail, because I personally believe that every believer needs to know concerning what's what and the history of dealing with the early church to understand why that God is doing the work of restoring in these last days, to understand why that even though we have all claimed, I'm talking about as Christians, to be serving the same God, those who have questions like, if you are doing this, then why is there so many churches? And I believe personally that taking people down the history, explaining them what happened, to share some life with this will help them out in the answer to that question. Now I want to pass my brother on. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother. How are you?
Another blessed day in Christ Jesus. Blessed and another yes. Golden opportunity. Brother, you know, to share some more pain on the devil and to bring some more joy to the people of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory Amen. To God. You know, before we go into this lesson, I this is not to give glory to the devil, but I know the devil does not want us to do this, what we're doing. I know it's too much, you know, going to be hindrance and interference and stuff that's going on. My God. You know, and many times that is the one of the first clues that you know that Satan does not want this thing to be done. But we thank God for strength today in Jesus' name and the golden opportunity to do it. So we want to welcome all of you that are listening today. And what I'm going to do is let my brother open up with prayer, and then we're going to go into the lesson. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Blessed be the Lamb. Thank you, Father, for this day, for this honor, Lord God. Father, we come representing you, Lord Jesus, and we come, Lord God, inviting you in to this, Lord God, blog talk radio, Lord God. Hallelujah, that you might give all the listeners, Lord God, great understanding, great light, great illumination, O Lord God, enlighten their souls, O Lord God, that they might hear these words, O Lord God, and believe them, O Lord God. Father, they might receive the gospel of the kingdom, O Lord God, the end time word, O Lord God, in Jesus Christ's name, yes. That they might receive this warning, O Lord God, that you have, hallelujah, given to us through the scripture for many, many centuries, Lord God. And, O Lord God, hallelujah, you have sent your word. Thank you, Father.
Yes,
thank you for your word. Father, we bind the powers of the adversary today, Lord God, that will try to... that would try to deceive, that would try to befuddle, that would try to, Lord God, to undermine the word of Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you. In Jesus Christ's holy, righteous name, we command this word to go forth to the hearts of those who desire it, those that want it, those that are seeking. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Glory to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise be to God. Glory to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We are grateful today for another opportunity to come before you all today with the Word of God. I want to say as we get ready to go into the lesson, as I started off and then my brother is going to come behind me on this lesson here, I want to say to those of you who are first-time listeners, this is part two to what this section of the series we're doing. I want to encourage you that as you listen tonight, go back and listen to part one. It's very important because when you come into a middle or the end of something, many times you don't fully grasp overall the thing that's being discussed. So I want to encourage you all who are first-time listeners, maybe you was browsing through the radio internet and boom, you know, you've come across here and you come across us doing this. This is part two we're doing now. We did part one on Sunday. So I want to encourage you after you listen tonight that you will go back and listen to part one. Blog Talk Radio does record the messages we give. Now, having said that, and this is why it's very important because we started off last Sunday looking at Matthew chapter 17, verse 10 and 11, and Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to verse 21. And what we looked at was that we looked at the word restore, and we looked at the word restitution. And during that day, I gave you the meaning of the word restore from the original Greek. I gave you what was the original Greek meaning, Greek word, that what it meant, okay, and what it meant in the Greek. And I gave you four more definitions from Webster of the word restore, amen? And I gave you these definitions because in the whole overall series of what we're doing, all these definitions that I gave you will come into play. And now, once again, if you said, well, what was those definitions, I want to encourage you once again to listen to part one, okay? And then the word restitution from Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to verse 21, I gave you what the original Greek word, what it meant there in the original Greek meaning of that. I didn't give you the Greek word itself, but what it meant. And then I gave you the definitions from Webster of the word restitution. And though we saw that both the word restore and restitution, the Greek words was almost the same. It was not totally the same, but almost the same. By it being called restitution and restoring, they are close to almost interchangeable. They have a slight difference. But when you hear us refer to it as the restoring or restitution and restoration, we are saying it like that because they work together in harmony. And this is the work of the Lord that he's doing in these last days. Now, in that, I show you that, and we looked at how that the Word of God tells us that Jesus said in Matthew 17 that Elijah is to restore all things, okay? And we looked at Mark chapter 8 and saw that God said there are things that be of God and there's things that be of man. And so we come to the conclusion that since the Elijah is Jesus' man, that he is sinning, then apparently he is to restore the things that be of God. And so therefore we looked at in Acts chapter 3 where it talks about the restitution of all things, amen. And then we saw that in dealing with the restitution of all things, because we're trying to look at what is this all things. We know it's things that be of God, but we wanted to look a little bit deeper. And we saw in Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to verse 21, that when Peter was used to tell us about the restitution of all things, another key thing he said was that God has showed by the mouth or spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. And therefore, reading that verse that way, we come to understand that when he mentions that the prophets, that God had used the prophets in speaking about this restitution and restoring of all things, that one of the places that when you read that it is pointing you to is the Old Testament. And you would say, why? Because when you look in the Old Testament, there's the book of the prophets. And therefore, the prophets who God had given a word about our time today. Amen? So this is the reason why we can't take the Old Testament, because you have some people out there that whenever you start a scripture from the Old Testament, They get very riled up and say, we're a New Testament church, and you don't need to be coming from. We're no longer the Old Testament. What they fail to understand, we don't do the ordinances. We don't sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats. We don't do that. But God had revealed things about the latter days to the Old Testament prophets. And so from there we went to Daniel chapter 2. We looked at verses 28 and 29 and verse 44. And what happened is that we saw that God had gave this man Nebuchadnezzar a dream about what Daniel said was the latter days. And we come to understand that the latter days is the last days or the end time. So God has shown him a dream about today, what is to happen in this time. And so we saw that one of the things that is to happen in this time was that Daniel had revealed unto King Nebuchadnezzar, by God giving him the interpretation, that the God of heaven was going to set up a kingdom in his last days. So the restoring of all things, or the restitution of all things, we know that is involved in it is the restoring of God's kingdom in his last days. Amen. And so therefore, in seeing that, I come to you and I said, well, okay, we got to understand that, okay, if Jesus first came, when he first came and he set up his kingdom, why is God talking about the restoring of the kingdom in the last days if it was done, you know, the kingdom was set up when Jesus first came? Well, in order for something to have to be restored, okay, restitute or restored, it either been lost, stolen, taken, or destroyed. We got to remember that. I want you to remember that as we go into these series of these lessons, okay? And so, therefore, we come to understand that in these last days, God is setting up his kingdom, which means that after Christ had first set it up, something happened to it. Something happened to it. In order for it to have to be set up again in these last days, something happened to it. Amen? And so Amen. The last thing I brought before you was, as we talk about this kingdom, is what makes up a kingdom. And I gave you five things. You got to have a king. You got to have people. You got to have a domain or the place or the region where this kingdom is going to be. You got to have officers. And the fifth thing, you had to have laws. Those five things make up a kingdom. Now, I turn it over to my brother, and my brother, and the title of this lesson, the original setup, the church, part one. Tonight we're doing part two. And my brother finna come behind me, okay, in a few seconds here, as he continue on to show how Christ, we're talking about the original setup. Because in order for you to understand what needs to be restored, why it needs to be restored and all that, you need to know about what Christ originally set up. Because remember, if something has to be restored or restitute, then it either was lost, stolen, taken, or destroyed. It's not like it was before, okay? And so the last thing I want to say as I get ready to turn over to my brother came from Matthew chapter 16. And one of the things that he showed you in there is where Christ said that upon this rock he will build his church, okay? Amen. Now, Christ said he was going to build it, okay? So the original setup of the church, Christ had originally set up that he was going to build his church. Amen? That's what he said in the Word of God. And so what I want to do is give you a definition of the word church, because the other thing we want to understand as my brother comes before you, I want to also define to you and want you to see and understand that not only did Christ set up that he was to build his church, but he also set up who was to be members in this kingdom. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, some of you might say, well, why is that important? Because today in the churches, we're putting anybody in there. Amen. Glory to God. And so, therefore, when he said that upon this rock I will build my church, okay, the original Greek word for the word church is klesia. And klesia means calling out, that it's a popular meeting, especially a religious congregation, a Jewish synagogue, or a Christian community of members on earth or saints in heaven or both, okay? That's the Greek word meaning for church, okay, which was translated over to the word church. A church is also a body or organization of religious believers, according to Webster. So when we put this all together, the church is supposed to be a body or organization of believers. Not just anybody now. Believers, okay? Glory to God. Not atheists. These are believers in Christ. That's what the church is supposed to be. So when Christ said, I will build my church, and he set up the people that was going to be, because remember, to have a kingdom, you got to have people. And the residents to be in this kingdom were supposed to be believers, okay? Or organization of believers, okay? Amen. So from there, I'm going to turn it over to my brother and let my brother continue with you.
Amen. Blessed be the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, let your word, the spirit of your word, the power of your word, hallelujah, let the voice of your word go into the ears, the minds, hearts, souls of the people,
Lord,
in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Yes,
thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory,
hallelujah. God has a you should be learning something by now that God had a design, that God does not, God does not work in confusion. He doesn't work in derision. He doesn't work in division. Who is it that divides? It's Satan that divides. It's Satan that destroys. It's Satan that brings confusion, okay? So if you see his work, if you see his handiwork, so is him at work, okay? When Jesus Christ, his church, when Jesus Christ set up his church and he set his design, okay, he sent a man before him. That man was John,
amen,
okay? John the Baptist, okay?
Amen.
He sent him before him, okay, because Jesus Christ is King of Kings, even though a lot of people don't think of him as being a King of Kings, but he is the King of Kings. So he sent a person to represent him before he came into this world. He sent a person before him, and he sent John. And he said, this is his pattern, okay? And this is his design, okay? And he set it up not only so that John would come in that day and time, but that he would come also in the future, okay? And this is what we're saying to you. Now, you can disagree with this all you want to, but this is written in the gospel when Jesus Christ said that the Elias had to come, okay? Well, we try to fix it. We try to fix the word to fix our churches, our doctrine, our religion, okay? And all churches, hallelujah, excuse me saying this, okay, and this might offend people, all churches that are not of Christ, that's why they find themselves fighting, or people that's in that church, they find themselves fighting against God because they have not yielded to the word, okay?
Yeah.
Even in the very kingdom of God, you might still find people fighting against the word of God. They might have the truth, and they still be fighting against the word of God. You know?
Amen.
And then if you wonder why the Lord had to restore something, it's because it was taken away.
Yeah.
Okay? Why did he say? I'm going to send Elijah to restore all things, and then he writes this all the way from the time of Moses, okay, from the time of Moses, you come all the way from the time of Moses, where he said, I'm going to send a prophet like unto me, okay? Lord's going to send a prophet like unto me, okay? And this prophet is going to restore, he's going to do the same kind of work I did, okay? A restoration, okay? And that was, but Moses, did you know Moses was doing the work of restoration? In this time, you know, that when he restored the law, and when he restored the word of God to man and said, thou shalt not, okay, then man man really didn't have no right to sin, okay? Because God was telling them that these things were sin, okay? Once God pointed out something is a sin, and it's against his law, then if you sin against God's law, just like God said to Adam, okay, in the beginning, he said, the day that you eat of that tree will be the day that you're going to die. So if the Lord tells
Amen.
You something, the Lord set a law for you, and the Lord said, now this is the way it is, okay? And you might have been ignorant of it at first, but now we're telling you, okay, that there had to be a restoration. And we're telling you why there had to be a restoration, okay? We told you about the persecution of the church, okay? And we told you about there was 10 general persecutions of the church sent out against the church by Rome, the Roman emperor, okay? They did this. Nero
Amen.
Was the first one. He would be the 11th persecution, okay? And then he had many small persecutions along the way. But these persecutions were designed of the devil to destroy the church, to stamp out
Amen.
The church. Hallelujah. To try the church. Hallelujah. And they love, and Revelation tell you that they love not their lives unto death, and they laid down their lives, okay? And they was victorious. That means the devil didn't overcome them. The devil might have killed their bodies. Hallelujah. But they was not able
yeah.
the devil was not able to kill their souls, okay? He was not able to take them down to hell. He was not able to make them recant the word of God and say, hey, those words we'll take it back. We take it back. Even at the fiery trials that was upon them, they did not take back the word of God. Hallelujah. Even though they saw
Amen.
Their little children being killed, they did not take back the word of God. Hallelujah. Even though they had to lay down their lives, they had to see that sometimes they saw their wives killed. Sometimes the wife saw the husband killed. And they thanked God that they was hallelujah, worthy to lay down their lives. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb.
Yes,
do you remember in the book of Acts where the apostles first received, hallelujah, when they first received that first good stripes for standing up for the word of God? Do you remember that?
Amen.
Well, when they did this, they counted it all honor, all glory, that they was worthy to you know, for that little bit, okay? They counted themselves, oh, we're blessed. Oh, the Lord, we're blessed. Because we don't see things that way. Because we have to understand this. I've told you this before, that we have an adversary, which is the devil. Stop forgetting that we got this other part of this equation, okay? We have Satan that is against us, okay? He's the kingdom of this world. Satan hates all things righteous. He hates all things of Christ, okay? And if you want to know where all these religions come from, where all these different churches come from, they come because of him. Satan says things like this, well, if I can't stop them from serving the Lord, I'll divide them. I divide them in doctrine, okay? I divide them in the way they worship. I'll put a religious spirit upon them so that they will religiously think that they're right. And they'll build their churches according to their own desire. That's how I divide them. I divide them with religiosity, okay? Because every religious man thinks he's right. And that's where churches stand, okay? They all pointing at themselves saying, I'm the one. I'm the one. But who is the one? Did Jesus have a design? Well, that's what we're talking about. Jesus had a design. He had a pattern that he set. And he said, I'm sending you who? I'm sending John.
Amen.
And he's going to represent me, okay? And if you recall this, John had authority to represent represent Jesus Christ, okay, before his coming, okay? John had power to represent him. Did you notice that? Did you pick that up? That Jesus, that John was born with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
If he was born with the Holy Ghost, and I gave you the scriptures to that, remember?
Amen.
You remember the scriptures I gave you?
Amen.
Well, we gave you the scriptures, okay? And the scriptures was in Luke 1:76. He's the preparer of the ways, okay? In Luke 1:76, he says he's the preparer of the ways, okay? That was a prophecy that came forth of the Holy Ghost upon his father, Zacharias, okay? He's going to be the preparer of the ways, okay? Now, this first way that he's preparing, that he has already prepared, was when Jesus Christ first came on the scene, okay? And Jesus Christ, that was the first way, okay? Now, I don't mean that there's many, many ways. That just means that that was a design of God, okay, that God set in place, okay? This is the messenger of the covenant. This is that prophet. He is that prophet, okay, that's for to come. John, we ain't giving no honor to John, okay? Remember this, we're not giving any honor to John, okay? John did not call himself. He did not ordain himself. Jesus Christ ordained him. God ordained him, okay, to that calling. And God, the one, gave him the things that he gave him, because John did not even know that he had a second calling.
Amen.
He thought he was just the voice of one crying in the wilderness, because that's what he was doing at that time. And when he testified, no, I'm not the Elias, he said, no, I'm not the Elias. In the first chapter of John, he said, no, I'm not that Elias. He answered questions, okay, that they put to him, because they asked him, are you that prophet? And John answered him and said, no, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not he. I'm not the Christ. He said, no, I'm not that prophet. He said, but he was going to be, but Jesus Christ came right around and said, he is, right? So who are you going to believe?
Yeah.
John the Baptist didn't know who he was, okay? He didn't know that he was going to, I don't think he even knew he was going to have a ministry, but he did have another ministry, because Christ said he would do these things, okay? He said he would restore all things. Well, we don't want to receive that, because we've already set up our churches the way we want our churches. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
We already set up our churches the way we like our churches. We like our churches the way they are, because our churches reflect us. What we are,
amen.
Okay? That's what our churches reflect. Our churches say, oh, this is, I search for a church that I like, okay? We're not seeking God's truth. We're not seeking God's word. What are we seeking? We're seeking a church that makes us comfortable. And how does a church make you comfortable? It makes you comfortable in your sin. It makes you comfortable in your flesh. It makes you comfortable in this world, okay? That's what churches do, okay?
Amen.
And then when the word of God comes along, and the word of God says now, and the word of God is like this, okay? You heard about the baby eagles, right? The baby eagles in the nest, right? And when the mother, when the mother eagle wants to get the baby eagles out of the nest, how does it do it? How does the mother eagle do it? She puts thorns in the nest, and she put rocks in the nest. Okay, she put things that make the little baby chicks, the little eagles, uncomfortable. Oh, what's that? oh, my body was not feeling too good now, you know. So and then the baby eagles eventually say, hey, I'm getting out of here. This is not good anymore. This is not good.
Yeah.
That's what the word of God does to us. It's supposed to move us along, okay? When God lets something happen to us, okay, like he let happen to the church in the book of Acts, okay? When the persecution comes, okay, it comes to get us out of our nest, okay? And when these things come, it comes, okay, to try us where we are, okay? And what happened to the church? The church moved on. They moved forward, okay? They didn't let this persecution stop them. What did they do? They spread out throughout the world and started taking the gospel to everywhere, okay? But that's what it was designed to do. This is what God's church is supposed to do. If you're sitting back just having church every Sunday, and I'm gonna tell you this, okay? And you may not like it. If you're sitting back comfortably having church, and you got a name on your own pew, okay? And some people got that, okay? Got their name on their own pew. You sit up there with your name on your pew. Oh, this is mine. I come in here every Sunday. This is mine, okay? That's your church. That is your church. That's that man's church, okay? Whoever built it, okay? Now, the man could be a nice person. He could be a spiritual person. But that's still his church. And the reason why I tell you that is because the reason why we're telling you this is because the thing that was taken away, that which was taken away from the earth, that man child that was taken away from the earth, was the representation. Those people had the right, the old church had the right to represent Christ and his church, okay? All right? Are you following me? The old church, the church that Jesus Christ held, had the right to represent Christ and the church and the body, okay? So but I'll say it like this, because this is better. They had the right and the power to represent the kingdom of Christ, okay? Now, that's something different, okay? Because we don't talk about that. Are we representing the kingdom of Christ? Okay? Well, we can't represent the kingdom of Christ. There's only one way to represent the kingdom of Christ. That's if you sent of him.
Amen.
And what we do now is that John was sent of him. John was sent in the beginning of the Lord to represent his church and his body. Okay? You got that?
Amen.
Write it down. John the Baptist was sent to represent Jesus Christ and his church. You could call that A and B. Okay? Put it down.
Amen.
That's A and B. That's why Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I build my church. Did he say, I built Peter's church? Did he say, I built John's church? Did he say, I built James' church? No, he didn't. What did he say? He said, upon this rock, the rock of my word, that I am the Son of God, that I am the Messiah, that I am the Messiah, I build my church. Hallelujah. Why did Jesus say this? He said it because it's the truth that you must stand on. Hallelujah. And you must understand that even as Christ set up salvation in the earth, okay, he set salvation up in the earth, okay, that all men could be saved, okay? And you know something? You know something about salvation? But salvation is a peculiar thing. You know why? The salvation of Christ is a peculiar thing. You know why? Because you don't need anybody there with you to be saved. You don't need anybody to lead you to Christ. If you really hungering and thirsting after Christ, you can actually come to Him, okay, and repent of your sins, okay. But you still have to become a part of God's body, okay. But nevertheless, okay, that's the important thing, okay, is that everyone can come to Christ, okay. Now Jesus set that up, okay, so that any man that desire Him can come to Him, okay.
Amen.
And that's the one thing that the Rome tried to stamp out that he couldn't stamp out. Rome was trying to stamp out this salvation, okay? The devil was trying to stamp out salvation, okay? And hallelujah. Why was the devil trying to stamp out this salvation? Because now all men can come to Christ. They can come boldly to the throne of grace, and they can ask God to save them, okay? I don't need nobody to lead me, okay? But if somebody lead me, that's good. That's one of the ways that God said, okay? But God has set any way for man to be saved. I can be sitting in a tub and get saved, okay? I could be laying in my bed, and then if the Spirit of God come up on me and I receive what He says, I can be saved, okay? If I turn my heart to Christ, okay? I say, I believe in you, Lord Jesus. I can be saved then and there, okay? But you
Amen.
Still have to do more after that. But what I'm saying is that Christ set it up so that you could be saved at any time, anywhere in the world, okay? Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that salvation is not in the hands of the churches? Like they're trying to say, a lot of churches think that salvation is in their hands. They think that they can shake somebody's hand and say, now you're saved. What audacity. They think that they can say, come on over here and join this, and you're saved, okay, because you go down into the water. But there's only one way for a man to be saved, and that's if he's converted by the Holy Spirit, okay?
Amen.
Must first believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What does the 11th chapter of Hebrews says? You must first believe in Him and believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, okay? Before you come to Him, you got to believe that He is God, okay?
Amen.
That's the word of God, okay? And so what we're telling you, okay, that all these things that set up in this world, the reason why you have all this confusion, the reason why you have all this darkness, the reason why you have all of this, what you call it, befuddlement, division, okay, and where every man think he's right, is because they all stand on what all the churches, most of all the churches stand on. They standing on a partially sandy foundation and partially the rock. They're not standing on the rock holy. They just got like maybe one toe. one.
Yeah.
They got about one, maybe a half a foot on the, you know, they kind of balancing themselves there, you know. But they ain't standing on the rock itself. They standing on their church doctrines. They standing on their the covenant that they made with men. That's what they standing on. And most churches, that's how most churches are built. They're built of men,
right.
And men say, yes, now you want to be part of my church, you do what I tell you to do. This is my church. We can vote you out, or we can vote you
Amen.
In, okay? That's man's church. That's man's church, okay? So if man's running it, that's who it belongs to, okay? Now, we don't want to face up to this, okay, because we think that religion is a good thing, but religion is not a good thing because religion came from who? It came from the devil. Religiosity comes from the devil.
Amen.
Because religiosity makes you think that you're right, okay? The Lord didn't say He built His church upon religion. And He didn't say nothing about no good religion. Okay, he says, upon this rock of who I am the Son of God, I am the Messiah. I am the one that was that said it would come from the beginning to the end of the scriptures. I am He. If you believe this, okay, then you'll be saved. And if you build your if you build everything on this rock, you have a solid foundation. But if you do, but if you build your own church, your church, at best, is, you know, partially rock, partial rock, and the rest of it is sand, sinking sand. So then,
Amen.
If you got 1 foot in the sand, what's going to happen? Okay, if your sand is sandy, okay, really sand, you built on sand, you're going to sink down, okay? Your foot that you got on the sand is going to sink down, okay? And
Amen.
The foot that's on the rock is going to slip off of there. You know why? Because the thing, because man's religion is going to pull you down. Man's doctrines are going to pull you down. Man's sayings are going to pull you down. But that's why we can only rely on one. That is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And people trying to build a church on everything else. They're trying to build their church on how they feel about not, they don't want to speak the whole truth of God. Okay? Do you know now the whole world is angry? The whole world is angry because they haven't been given the truth. And because the body, those that call themselves Jesus Christ Church, or these many churches that call themselves, we are Christ's churches, okay? We are Christ Church, okay? We have power to do this. And all they're doing is talking, and they have no deliverance in their mouths, okay? Now you got some that do have deliverance, but I'm talking about the ones that don't. I'm talking about the many that don't have that don't have this power of deliverance in their lives, okay? Because you can't take one part of God's gospel and try to stand on it, okay?
Amen.
I'm talking about how God said, God put gifts in the church, right? God put all kinds of gifts in the church, right? Why did he put healing in the church? Why did Jesus Christ come healing? Why did Jesus Christ come delivering? Why did Jesus Christ come casting out devils? Because it was necessary. And then at the end, when Jesus Christ left, he said, now you do this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. What is it in Mark 16 chapter? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. We don't believe in that. A lot of churches don't believe in no casting out no devils. They don't
Amen.
Believe in no devils. And they believe what the psychiatrist is telling them now, that a lot of that these are not demons; these are just mental illness. Okay, but they are both. Physically mentally ill, and they are spiritually mentally ill. Okay, and Jesus Christ came to set the captives free, and Jesus Christ told His church, He said, "I give you power to do what." To set the captives free. That's one of the signs, okay?
Amen.
But you know something? These many churches that belong to men, okay, if they would turn their hearts to Christ, God could put all the people of His in one fold. God could unite His people into one fold, and they could stand against this evil that's coming against us, okay? The reason why we're doing this is because the thing that's coming against us, okay? Because the man of sin is coming against us, the beast is coming against us, okay? And he's coming against us with all his tools. He's coming against us with all his workers. He's coming against us with communism. He's coming against us with Catholicism. He's coming against us with Islamism, okay? Buddhism, Hinduism, false religions, that's what he's coming against us with, okay? Hallelujah. And I don't know if you know this, but I've told you this before, that there's a billion each of those fellas that I just named, those first three fellas I told you about, Islam, communism, Catholicism, there's over a billion in each one of those organizations, okay?
Amen.
How many billions of people? That's about 7 billion people in the world. Of all the religions, all the false religions and things, that makes up most of the world, okay? So what's left, really, of Christianity, okay?
Amen.
Boy, if you don't understand where you're standing at, okay, you should read the word, okay? But the reason why we're telling you these things, okay, we want to let you know that God sent John back then, and he's sending them now, okay, in this day and time, okay? Now, a lot of people, they try to hold to certain scriptures, okay, that they don't really know nothing about. They try to hold the scriptures talking about the old door of the angel, or any other angel speak to you, or any other gospel, and they don't have the gospel themselves. Because I'm talking about the whole gospel. I ain't talking about a piece of the gospel. I ain't talking about taking
Amen.
That part that you like. I ain't talking about taking that part that you like yourself. You like that part, so you take that. Okay? You like healing, so you take that. You like tongues, so you take that. Or you like the part that just goes out into the field. Okay? You like that part, but you don't like any other part. You don't know anything about deliverance. You don't know anything about God's resurrection. You don't know nothing about his how he speaks, okay, in his prophecy, okay, that God can't talk to you any other way except for the way that you set for him to talk to you. And you don't want God to approach you in any truth. You don't want that. Most churches won't receive anything that God sends, okay? It's always a big fight. Okay, it's always a big fight when the word of God truly comes. When Jesus Christ came on the scene, what happened to him? Do you remember what happened to Jesus? And in the fourth chapter of Luke, do you remember what happened to him?
Amen.
When he said he came to say, when he told him, he said, I'm he. Oh, he didn't say I'm he, but he said in your ears today is this. This scripture is fulfilled. He told him that scripture was fulfilled. He was telling them that was him, okay? And they looked at him
Amen.
And said, who do he think he is? We know him. He's just the son of Mary. He's just the son of that carpenter. What's his name? Joseph? That's his name? Yes, that's his son. Who is
Amen.
He making himself out to be? That's what they said about Jesus. They said, well, since he said that, we're going to have to take him out here and stone him a little bit here. And so the first thing they tried to do to Jesus was to stone him, okay, when he first presented himself because he had the word of truth. Many of you would want to stone the men of God or kill the men of God just because the word is given to you because it
Amen.
Don't have any place in you. That means that you don't like truth. That means you don't love truth. That means you ain't seeking truth. Cause you comfortable with what you have, okay? That which man has built up, okay? Those churches, that's what you like. You like that religion. I like to go to my church. I like to dress in my suit, and I like to put on my smell good. I like to go to church, and that's it. And then I like to come home, and then I pursue what I've been pursuing, my own appetites, my own evil, okay? That's, you know, and I have like this double life. Many of you have this double life where you go to church. You like to go to church, but you ain't gave your life to Christ, and you don't know him, and he don't know you either.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed be the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Brother, I'm going to cut it off right
now. Amen. We definitely enjoy that. We will have, those of you listening to part three, the original setup, the church part three. I want to run a couple of scriptures by you before we close it off. As I said before in the beginning, and as my brother had told you even in part one, that we're talking about the original setup. And Christ originally set up that he will build his church. And I define to you church, and the church is not, quote, the building. You know, we use that word wrong and we say the building is the church. No, the church is the people. But it ain't just any kind of people. See, we must understand that not only God set up that he would build his church, but he also set up the citizens that would be in that kingdom. Okay? So if anybody try to bring someone in that doesn't fit the criteria of what God said, now once again, God said, not Brother Robert or Brother Nate said, then you're trying to bring them in illegally. Uh-oh, did I say that? Yes, I did. You're trying to bring them in illegally. Now, for example, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, but I am for people coming into this country the right way. And see, you got people arguing, talking about, oh, we got to care for these people. So you have a lot of illegal aliens, as they say. Okay? I'm for them bringing in the right. There has to be a way. We can't just be open and just letting anybody run up in here. And that's one of the problems that the U.S. is having now. Okay? I know some of y'all who big on, quote, Democrat Party, whatever, is mad at what I said. I told you. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I am for the right way, though. Okay? If there's a way or a law laid down for men to enter, come into that way. And so God set up the type of members or citizens that to be in his kingdom. Now, one of them he called the church, okay? And I define to you what the church is, okay? Gave you a definition. Once again, it is a body or organization of believers. Get that.
Amen.
Believers, not non-believers, not unbelievers. Because, see, in many of the churches today, and we in the Church of Christ and Elijah Message have been guilty of this ourselves by bringing people in that is not even saved. Yes, yes, I said.
Amen.
Yes, I said. And we fail to understand these names right here defines the citizens that God, once again, not Brother Nate or Brother Robert, that God said, this is the citizens going to be of my, this is the people of my kingdom. They got to be called, what, the church. They got to be what? An organization of believers.
Amen.
We want to draft people in because we like them. We want to draft people in because they got a lot of money. We want to draft people in because they know how to flatter you. Well, let's be real about it. And God said, organization of believers who is called out to a popular meeting. What they do, they assemble themselves together often. You know, brother, some people think that they don't have to come to service. And the only excuse they use, they say, well, I can have service at home. But don't get me wrong. You can have service with God at home, but God didn't tell you to stay there. In Hebrews, he said, forsake not to assemble yourselves together. And you have people coming up with this old excuse not to come to service, talking about, well, I ain't got to come to service, so I can have service in the house. I said, well, did God tell you to stay there? Did he tell you to stay there? Now, if you can show me the scripture where he told you to stay there, I agree with you. But if he didn't, according to the scripture, he said, forsake not to assemble yourselves together. Amen.
Amen.
That's what God said in his word. Now, let's look at Acts. I want to look at a couple of scriptures. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Because, as my brother told you, we're talking about the original setup. Christ set up, he said, I will build my church. And once again, he set up the people that is supposed to be in this kingdom. So once again, if you try to bring somebody into the, quote, kingdom who doesn't fit the criteria of what Christ said to be a member, you're trying to bring them in illegally. And that's what's going on with many of the churches today. They're bringing in illegal people.
Amen.
Now, in Acts chapter 4, verse 47, chapter 2, verse 47. Look what it says. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. The word said, praising God and having favor with all the people and the Lord. Who? The Lord added to the church. Who he added to these believers? Who did God add to the believers? Remember, the word church is defined as a body or organization of believers. Okay? So the Bible says the Lord added to the church, to this organization of believers, who? Daily, such as should be saved. So it was saved folks that was added to the believers.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
See, the word saved, the original Greek word saved, that means to save, that is deliver or protect. In other words, that were the people that was added to the church was the people who were delivered.
Uh-oh.
Amen. Deliver from what? From hell, from death. They also, get this, the people who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, you said, well, Brother Nate, how do you know that? Because Romans chapter 10, verse 9 said what? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised from the dead, whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Okay?
Amen.
Amen. So that's who was added to the church. They were delivered. People that were delivered by the power of God. People that accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. Not unbelievers. You know,
amen,
when Brother Snoop Dogg got up on there, you know Snoop Dogg had called himself doing a, quote, Christian album with the other Christians. And the lady interviewed Snoop Dogg, said, how do you feel when they saying about you, you know, and I'm going to paraphrase it, him doing this album, you know, with the Christians and all that. So Snoop Dogg had his, looked like a, I think he had some glass on, but he talked like he was so educated in scripture. He said, it's a church made of saints. I said, well, you don't know what you're talking about because it is. Okay, so you don't know what you're saying anyhow, but you think that you know everything, okay? And the Christians didn't make it no better because they combined with him to make this song, and the same man a few months later calling all kind of cussing words to people, it don't make no sense. I say that
amen
to say this. We're pulling among believers, unbelievers. We're not pulling people that was delivered by the power of God. We're pulling in people we like, people that flatters, people that are popular, okay?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Pulling in. The Bible says here that the Lord added to the church.
Amen.
The Lord added to the organization of believers. What? Daily, such as should be saved. Not such as those that be liked. He didn't add people that just be liked. He added those that were saved, those that were delivered, okay?
Yes, yes.
Those that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord according to Romans 10. Amen?
Yes. Yes.
Those that were delivered from the law, that according to Romans chapter 8, and I just want to read this verse 1 right quick. It said, there therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the Spirit but after the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of Christ, of life in Christ Jesus, have made me free. That's another word for delivered. Had made me free from the law of sin and death. So who did God add to the church? Those that, who was what? Who was made free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
Born again believers. That's who was added
amen
to the church. But the problem
amen
with the church is that we're just drafting in anybody. Or they can be your uncle. Let's be real. Many of the churches, okay, the more members you get from the family, the more money we expect in the collection plate. Well, we might well be real about it. So when we see Brother Robert Gross just dropping $5 in there each Sunday, and we find out that somebody else in his family came a member, guess what we doing next time, next Sunday? We're looking for Brother Robert and them to have more than $5 in that plate. Well, we might well be real about it. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And his family member ain't got to be saved. And this is what we say, and I'm not trying to be funny when I say it, but we say the doors of the church are open. And when we say that, just anybody come up there. And we ain't really concentrated on getting the heart converted to Christ. We're concentrating on getting members.
Amen.
That's what we concentrate on, getting
amen
members. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I want to read one more verse here in Acts chapter 11. Because we're looking at God's original setup. And God had originally set up who is to be a member of this
amen
kingdom That has to be who is to be the member? See, this is why we mess up. This is the original setup. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Now remember, if whoever you quote trying to bring into the way doesn't fit the criteria of what God said they ought to be, you're trying to bring them in illegally. And that's what's been happening. Now, Acts chapter 11, verse 26 said, start verse 25 said, then departed Barnabas to Saul, to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called, look at what they were called. I love you, but I got to say that they weren't called Baptists. They wasn't called Methodists. They was
Amen.
Not called Pentecostals. They was not called
Amen.
Episcopalians. They was not called Muslims. They was not called Hindus. They was called
Amen.
Christians, first in Antioch.
Yes.
Now, that word Christian, in the original Greek word, Christianos, means a Christian that is a follower of Christ. Did you hear that?
Amen.
So it's that it means a Christian that is a follower, not someone just saying they're a Christian. Okay, y'all, I hope y'all heard that. Because you have some that's claiming to be a Christian, but they're a follower of Masonry.
Amen.
Yeah, I got to be out. Let's be real about it. Okay? The Bible said
Amen.
They were called Christians. And that Greek word means a Christian that is a follower of Christ, not a Christian that's saying they're a Christian.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You talking about you want to accept Jesus, but you don't want to live the life of holiness. Uh-oh, something wrong there. Something is wrong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You can't be a true Christian, but you don't want to follow Jesus. Something's wrong.
Amen. Amen.
You got people that want to be baptized in the church, but they don't want to live the life.
Amen.
See, what we mess up to it many times is that we'll say, well, like I asked a guy one time, I said, are you saved? Are you born again? No, the first thing he told me, and this is all you know, the first thing he said to me, he said, I was baptized at the age of so-and-so. I said, I didn't ask you that. I asked you, were you born again? He said, well, Nate, I thought that's what it is. I said, let me explain it to you. So when I talked to him about accepting Christ as Lord and taking on the life of Christ and walking in this way, in all honesty, he told me, he said, I ain't ready yet. See, many of the preachers and stuff like that, they're not going that deep.
Amen.
They're not going that deep.
Amen.
Because, see, when the person says, hey, well, you know, I believe in God, but I'm not ready to live. Something's wrong. Something's wrong.
Something's wrong.
We go with, quote, not full commitment. We go on with just people saying, you know, I really like this building. Y'all got the beautiful, most beautiful building on the block, and it's so big. It's so nice, and I just want to be a member of the church. I just feel warm and welcome here. Okay, well, first of all, you need to receive Christ as Lord. Well, I believe in Christ, and you need to take on the life of Christ and live as a Christian. I don't do everything right. I didn't say you did everything right. I said that you got to live a life as Christ, as a Christian, following Christ. Well, I don't think I'm ready yet. See, when you get to that rate, you get down to the truth. See, we stay with the question on the surface, and anybody will answer that, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure, I do. But when you get to the deep and talk to them about living the life of Christ, then the real truth come out. But see, we won't go that deep.
Yes.
So the Bible said here, that they were called Christians. This is who God has set up to be a member of the key. Christians. Ones that who are what? Followers of Christ. He did not
Amen.
Set up anyone to be in his kingdom who is a follower of Hare Krishna. He did not set up anyone in his kingdom to be a follower of Elijah Muhammad.
Amen.
He did not set up anyone to be a member of his kingdom who's a follower of the Pope. He didn't do that. Okay?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
They were called Christians. That's what they were called. Amen. And we done broke out and called ourselves all these different names. Now, I'm talking about in the Christian community. Like I said, I got brothers and sisters in Christ in the Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal church, but guess what? Why are we calling ourselves these names when you cannot trace it in Scripture?
Amen.
Why are we calling ourselves this?
Amen.
God is telling you who he has set up to be the people in this kingdom of his.
Amen.
He's giving you the name, what they call. He called the church, as my brother read to you in Matthew 16. We looked at here in Acts 11. They are called Christians. They were called those that were added to the church, those that were saved.
Amen.
It's telling you who the members are, who the members are supposed to be. But many of us in the churches, we're grabbing anybody. Because you know why? We want to fill the pews up.
Amen.
We're getting tired of that pastor down the street looking at us, looking down on us because he got 300 and we only got 50. So we want to gather some more people so we can equal his 300 or surpass him so we can look down on him. This is what the thing is about, people.
Amen. Pride.
This is what it's about. It's a
Amen.
Big pride thing. Because we want our ladies to go out there with the big hats on and go and tell people, say, hey, we just got 70 new members last week. Now we at 500. And so we want them to look at the other people funny to see what their response going to be. Can they say they got 501, but they don't? Do you see what I'm saying? This is what it has come out to be.
Amen.
This is what it has turned out to be.
Yes. Yes.
And if you are born again, you're supposed to be under the law of the kingdom.
Amen.
And it's sad to say, many of the church's bylaws is against the law of God.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. You hear them talk more on their bylaws than the actual law of the kingdom.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. So the thing is, if I want to know who did God set up to be a member of the kingdom, I got to go to the scripture to find it. Amen? Because I don't want to bring in anybody that God did not say to be a member of the kingdom. And see, we are so messed up in Christianity, we haven't been doing that. We're just pulling in whoever. If you got a nice three-piece suit that costs $1,000, amen. Not only is he going to be a member of the church, but he's going to make some of the big calls. And he'll get more power if he don't like that preacher, that pastor, right? He's going to oust him out of there.
Amen.
Amen. You say amen, oh me, anyhow, whatever you want to say. But that's the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God
amen.
For the word. He called about Shitabosha. Hulabakatarabosha. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, once again, tomorrow night, the original setup, the church part three, that's what we're coming with. Once again, we're not rushing through this. Amen. We want you to get
Amen. It. Yes.
As my brother laid down the foundation for you and let you know that Jesus has sent John. He sent John to get the ball rolling. Okay?
Amen.
He sent him to get the ball, get the things going now. That's how God do. He's an organized God. He ain't all over the place. You know, some people be saying God said this and that, and it'd be a bunch of confusion. And you and any Christian that get in the scripture would say, that ain't God. How you know? God is not the author of confusion. You're all over the place. God ain't having you all over the place. He's an organized God, okay?
That's right.
And he sent John to get the ball rolling. That's what he did. Then he let you know who was the commander in chief, which is him. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Not you, Peter.
Amen.
I will build it.
Amen.
And I'm going to build my church. In other words, Peter, I'm letting you know who's going to be in the kingdom, who the members I assigned to be in the kingdom. What kind of people are they going to be? What type of people are they? He said, I'm going to let you know. So, Peter, you won't be walking in the dark trying to feel who can I add. I'm letting you know who's going to be the members. What they're going to be, okay? And we fell off from that. We fell off from the original setup. And like when we go on this series, we even talk about that even more. When we get on the far and away, we ain't even got on the far and away yet, okay? We just talked about the original setup. This is what God, you see, like my brother said, you should have been learning. Now we try to toot our own horn and say we're the greatest teachers ever, but you should have been learning something by now. On this, just saying Christians here, where the Bible tell you who's supposed to be the member, should tell you something.
Amen.
And I know many of you, you probably don't want to raise your hand. You didn't hear people in the church who let you know they don't want to follow Christ. But guess what? They're a member. Okay? Amen. They're a member in the church.
Amen.
Amen. Every time you talk about Jesus, they cut you off. They doing everything under the sun.
Amen.
And then coming the next day, the service, they're handing out sacrament. Well, amen.
Amen.
Okay? And most of the people, about 80% of the people in the church, know what they did last night. Well, let's be real.
Amen.
And even the pastor behind the pulpit that told them, say, hey, you can go ahead and pass it out, he knows. But most of them are too scared to say anything. Why? Because we don't want to lose the members.
Amen.
We don't want to lose the members. So we're bypassed when God said, and they was called Christians. Okay, we're going to bypass that. We're going to bypass when it said the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We're going to bypass that.
Yes. Hallelujah.
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 And this is why we've been having a problem in Christianity receiving the message of true unity. Because everybody's in their own little world, but you want to claim that you serve the same God. Well, guess what?
Amen.
God is going to straighten this out. Amen. So I'm going to let my brother close this out with prayer. And whatever God give him in prayer, I'm going to let him go ahead and pray. Go ahead, brother.
Glory to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we give you honor. We give you praise. We give you glory, Lord Jesus.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
We are speaking your word, O Lord God. We pray, Lord God,
Lord,
that the people receive these words, O Lord God, that they receive, Lord God, this admonishment of your word, O Lord God, that they might, hallelujah, seek you,
yes, Lord.
Lord, with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their spirit, Lord Jesus. Lord,
yes,
God,
Lord,
awaken people out of sleep. Awaken your people, Lord God, out of doubt, out of fear, Lord God, out of the works,
yes,
of this world, out of the works of the,
yes,
flesh, and out of the works of the devil. In the name of Jesus,
yes,
Christ, Lord God, break their bands, break their bonds,
break
their cords,
right now.
Change, Lord God, in Jesus Christ's name. Break, Lord,
Jesus,
God,
now,
the subtlety of the devil off of them, Lord God, off of their minds, Lord God, to befuddle their,
yes,
minds, Lord God, to deceive them, O Lord Jesus, in your mighty name. Lord God, hallelujah, cut them off, Lord God. Cut them off. Cut,
yes,
off,
Lord,
the works of the enemy, Lord Jesus, in your mighty name,
yes, Lord
God. Give knowledge, give illumination to your people, Lord,
yes,
God.
Lord.
In Jesus Christ's name, Lord God, cause them to hunger and thirst after righteousness, after the word of God. Cause them, Lord Jesus,
yes, Lord,
to seek you, Lord God, in the name of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
That they may not, Lord God, hallelujah, end up in that,
yes,
awful place, Lord God, that place of eternal damnation, oh, Lord God. Lord God, raise your people,
yes,
up, Lord,
Lord
God, that their eyes and their understanding might be enlightened, that they may know what the hope is calling is, in Jesus Christ's holy righteous name. Father, we plead the blood,
yes,
of Jesus over them, Lord God.
We
Father, we
over them,
stand for them in Jesus Christ's name. And
in
we intercede for them in Jesus Christ's name.
Yes, Lord,
in the name
God,
of
Jesus,
Jesus, we make up their heads in Jesus Christ's name. By the spirit and power of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, by the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of
Jesus. In the name
glory
of Jesus.
To the Lamb.
Yes.
The Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's set free. Hallelujah.
Yes,
glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb.
Glory
to the Lamb. In whose name is only salvation. Hallelujah.
Yes,
you are the rock of our salvation, O Lord God. Hallelujah. You are our salvation. Hallelujah.
Our
God. Our buckler. Our high tower. You, Lord God, hallelujah, are the one who redeemed us. Hallelujah. From death. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Glory be to the Lamb. Glory be to the Lamb. Glory be to the Lamb. For whom the Son set free, he is free indeed. Glory to the Lamb. By these words of the Lamb, set free. In Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget tomorrow night, Lord say the same at 7 o'clock p.m., the original setup, the church part 3. Amen. We will be going into that tomorrow night. So once again, we thank God for all of you. As for Brother Robert Gross, this is Brother Nathaniel Hunt. We love you. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Amen. God bless you, brother.